Take your Bible this morning and go to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. We've been going through the book of 1 Samuel on Sunday mornings this year, and it's been such a joy. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. We've watched Samuel grow up from just a baby in this book, and now he's a prophet of God. If anybody needs a handout, would you lift your hand up real high, let our ushers see you and recognize you and give you that handout, all right? Anybody need one? Just lift it up high. If you do not have a Bible, please feel free to use the pew Bible there in the pew in front of you or in the chair in front of you if you're in the balcony. Grab that Bible and feel free to use it. The pew Bible page number is on the top of the handout. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. Here in this text, is, if you were here the last couple of weeks, you know that Israel, they were God's people in the Old Testament. They had been in bondage to their own sinful idolatry. They had followed after false gods. They were in a state of alienation from God Almighty. The man of God, Samuel, let Israel have it right between the eyes. I mean, he just let them have it square between the eyeballs. And he tells them here in this chapter, you need to repent of your sin, you need to return to the Lord, you need to put away your strange gods, and you need to prepare your heart unto the Lord. That's in verse 3, and we covered that in depth the last 2 weeks. But there was a major problem. I want you to look down at verse number 7. It says, and when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, that the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So Israel's enemies gather against them. They realize that Israel has gathered together. Samuel has gathered them together in the city of Mizpah. And so the Philistines hear of that, they go there and they surround the city and they threaten now to annihilate the nation of Israel. The children of Israel knew that they had been in an alienated position from God. They knew that they needed somebody to go to bat for them. They needed somebody to be a mediator between them and between God so that they could find grace in God's eyes and deliverance from sure death at the hands of the Philistines. So what do? They need a mediator. They need somebody to go to bat for them, for God. So they cry out to Samuel. Look at verse number 8. It says, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. You ought to underline those two words. They said, we want you to cry out unto the Lord for us, that he will, and what's the next two words? Save us out of the hand of the Philistines. They cry out to Samuel. They said, Samuel, you got to help us. We're in an alienated position. We've been worshiping false gods and idols. We're not in a state where we need to be with God. So they said, Samuel, you are. So will you please cry out to God for us on our behalf? And Samuel was a very gracious man, and he did that. Look down with me at verse number 9, and let's see what Samuel, the prophet of God, does. It says, and Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord, and what's the next two words? For Israel. He interceded, he mediated for them. And notice it says there, and the Lord, what? Heard him. So what was the result of what Samuel did? Well, let's read on. Look at verse 10. Let's see what God does in response to Samuel's mediatory work here. Look at verse 10. It says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth Kar. You know, as I read this about Samuel and how he mediated between Israel and God, I can't help but identify the fact that Samuel here in this chapter is a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, like Israel, we as human beings were alienated from God by our sin, by our own wicked thoughts, wicked deeds, wicked actions. We were alienated from God. Like Israel, we had no hope. The wages of sin is death. And so like Israel, death and destruction awaited all of us. Like Israel, we couldn't save ourselves. We needed a mediator between us and between God. We needed somebody to go to bat for us before God, to do something to save us. And my friend, we have a greater than Samuel, the Lord Jesus Christ. He mediated for you and for me before God Almighty. The Bible says up on the screen here in Romans 5, for when we were yet without strength, we couldn't save ourselves. There was nothing that we could do about our own sin and how it had alienated us from God. But when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died. And what's that next word? For. He died for the ungodly. And then Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, and it's the same two words that we saw about Samuel. He died what? For us. You see, my friend, Jesus Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Jesus Christ offered himself as the Lamb of God to die for us. He took our sin debt that we deserved to pay, and he paid it in full on the cross. He bore the penalty for every one of my sins on the cross. He bore the penalty for every one of your sins on the cross. Jesus Christ became the perfect mediator between God and between man. He was sinless. Therefore, he alone could mediate for us. He alone could rightfully choose to pay our sin debt. You see, if I were to say, hey, I'm going to pay your sin debt for you, would that be good news or not? Wouldn't be very good news. Why? Yep. Some of you said, because you're a sinner. You sat right here on church on Sunday morning, called your pastor a sinner. And you know what? You'd be right if you said that. I'm a sinner. I can't mediate for you. It would not do any good because I'm a sinner like you. But I want to show you a verse in your handout. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is it? The man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Look with me at the screen and let's go to Hebrews 2 here. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. That's us. We have flesh and blood. He also, that's Christ in the context, he himself likewise took part of the same. So Christ took on our flesh and blood. Why would he do that? That through death. He did it so that he could die. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. My friend, we needed a mediator, and Christ is that mediator. What does Christ's work as mediator mean to us on a practical level? I want to give you three simple thoughts this morning from this text, and I want us to see what the result of Samuel's mediatory work for Israel accomplished, and then I want to make application to Christ. Because Samuel here is a picture of Christ. Look down at verse number 14 and let's see what happened as a result. In fact, let's go back up to verse 13. It says, so the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were, and what's that next key word? Restored to Israel. I want you to get the first thing in your handout. What does Christ work as our mediator mean? Number one, it means that we can be reconciled to God. Because Samuel mediated for Israel, Israel's cities that were captive, that were taken captive, are now restored back to them. And now let's apply that. Because Jesus Christ has mediated for us, we are able to be restored or reconciled back to God. Now, right away, we need to understand how important that is because Every one of us has been alienated from God by our sin. I want you to look at the screen. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is how many righteous? There's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody can look at God and claim that they are righteous through and through, that they're perfect, they always do right. And then it goes on to say, a few verses later, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that we are all spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We're without the life of God. Every single person needs to be reconciled to God. We're alienated, and we need to be reconciled to God. That's why Christ came to the earth. Look in your handout. It says, I'm in 1 Timothy 1:15 in your handout there. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to, why did he come? Oh, come on, a little bit louder. To what? To save sinners. Isn't that good news, church? What a wonderful event when two parties that are at odds are reconciled. Now, there are some things that can keep two parties that are at odds from reconciling. There's some things that can keep reconciliation from occurring. For example, Mark, John, come up here a minute. Help me a second. Mark and John, two great guys, workers, servants in our church here. Mark, you come over here. John, you come over here. And for the illustration, let's say they both serve the Lord. They're both involved here in the ministry. But let's say that they have a falling out. They get upset with each other. They get mad with each other. And so now they are, thank you, John, thank you. Yeah, turn around. Yeah, they're angry. And they're mad with each other. They're not happy. Well, you know what? We want reconciliation to happen. So I come in as the mediator, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to both sides. I'm going to listen to what happened. I hope that you'll trust my judgment and that we can get this thing worked out. Now, what's going to keep reconciliation from occurring? Well, one of the things is if one of the parties refuses to admit that they're wrong. For instance, yeah, let's say that Mark here really did something to offend John. He did something that wasn't right. It was a little bit mean, and he did it to John. But Mark's over here, and Mark, he won't admit that he did wrong. I didn't do wrong. It wasn't my fault. No. And so if as long as he admits that he's done nothing wrong, are they going to be reconciled? Yes or no? No. Now, let's apply that. If I'm going to be reconciled to God, I've got to admit that I've done wrong. I have to admit I need reconciliation. I have to admit I'm alienated. I have to admit that I have offended a holy God through my actions, my deeds, my thoughts, wicked things that I've done. I have to admit that I have offended God, or reconciliation is not going to happen. Now, another thing that could keep reconciliation from happening is if one of the parties refuses to admit there's a problem. If I go to Mark and I say, look, Mark, now, you know, there's a problem here. You know, what's up with you and John? And Mark goes, nothing.
I thought everything's great.
Yeah, nothing. And I'm like, come on, Mark, now, something must have happened. Now, I know that there's a problem between, if there's a problem, it's his problem. It's not my problem. It's a free country. He can do whatever he wants to do. Well, you know what? If Mark won't admit that there's a problem, or if John won't admit there's a problem, then are they going to be reconciled? Yes or no? No. And if we don't admit there's a problem between us and God, we're never going to be reconciled. I'm going to tell you another thing that'll keep reconciliation from happening. If I step in here, John, and I'm going to be the mediator between you two, but one of you or both of you say, we don't want you to be our mediator. We don't accept you as our mediator. We don't believe in you as our mediator. We don't think that you can be fair. We don't think that you can resolve this dispute. And they basically take me and just kind of toss me out, you know. And they don't want to believe on me. Thanks for not doing that, guys. I appreciate that. But if, you know, I mean, if they won't accept the mediator, is reconciliation going to occur? No, probably not. Well, now, Jesus Christ is the mediator between man and God. Let's pretend that he represents mankind. John, you represent God. Now, that's a stretch, but yeah, we're going to, all right. But let's say that Mark's over here. He's offended God, obviously, okay, like we all have. He needs reconciliation with God, just like we all do. Jesus Christ steps in. He's the mediator between you and between God. Jesus Christ, through His work, wants to bring you two together. He wants to bring you and reconcile you back into that relationship, see, that God wants with mankind. And so Christ comes in, He dies our death on the cross, He rises up from the dead, and what does the Bible say? Let's bring it up real quick on the screen. It says, wherefore He, Christ, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make what? Intercession for them. Christ has performed that work of mediation. In fact, look at the bottom of your handout there, Romans 5:10. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, there's that word, we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His what? Life. So Christ will take Mark and He will reconcile him to God, okay? If Mark will simply come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, and completely trust Him. If he refuses the mediator, is he going to be able to be reconciled to God? Yes or no? If we refuse Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we think, I don't need Jesus, I don't need what He's done for me, will we be reconciled to God? The answer is no, because there is one mediator between God and men. Who is it? The man Christ Jesus. We read it a minute ago. Are y'all with me this morning? All right, now, thanks, guys. Let's go to the second thing in your handout. Number two, what does Christ's work of mediator mean? It means, number two, that we can be saved. Not only can I be reconciled to God, but it means I can be saved. Now, go back to 1 Samuel 7, verse 14. Okay, everybody go back there. Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible, back at verse 14. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored. There's that reconciliation that happened because of Samuel's work of mediation. From Ekron even unto Gath. Now look at the next principle. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver. That means to save out of the hands of the Philistines. So all the coastal cities are saved from destruction of the Philistines because of what Samuel did. Did you know that Christ's intercessory work means that you and I can now be saved? We use that term. But if somebody were to say to you at work this week, if you were to say, hey, I've been saved. Have you been saved? And if they were to say to you, you've been saved. You've been saved from what? What would you say to them? Well, there's basically three things Christ saves us from, our mediator. Number one in your handout is that He saves us from God's wrath. He saves us from God's wrath. Would you look at the screen, please? And let's go to Romans 5:9 here. Look at the screen. It says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, Christ's blood that He shed on the cross, we shall be saved. There's that word. What am I saved from? From wrath. God's wrath. Through Him. Jesus Christ took your wrath for you on the cross in order to save you from wrath. Look at the second thing in your handout. Number two, if somebody said, well, you're saved. Saved from what? You'd say, well, I'm saved from my sins. I'm saved from my sins. All right, let's go back to the screen here. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Paul said, even when we were, and look at that expression. Look at the expression. Paul said that we were what? Say that together. Dead in sins. My sins created this alienation from God where I didn't have the life of God. I didn't have His life. You see, I was dead in my sins. I had no life of God. But notice it says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So Christ the mediator allows me to be quickened. He allows me to be made alive. By grace ye are saved. So I've been saved from my sins. I've been saved from God's wrath. And number three, I'm saved from eternal destruction. I'm saved from eternal destruction. You have a soul and a spirit. That soul and spirit is going to live somewhere in eternity. I want you to notice with me the screen here. Okay, let's go back. It says one day Christ is going to return. And when Christ returns, in flaming fire, He's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with what kind of destruction? Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Revelation says it this way, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is eternal destruction. Now listen to me. Follow me here. As our mediator, Christ took the judgment that we deserved. He received the wrath of God on the cross when He became sin for us. Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin. And there's those two words again. Oh, precious words. We saw them in 1 Samuel chapter number 7 there, verse 8, when they told Samuel, oh, cry unto the Lord for us. Samuel, mediate for us. Intercede for us. For us. We can't do it ourselves. Do it for us. And we saw that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We see here that on the cross, Christ became sin. What's the next two words? For us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Aren't you glad for what Christ has done for you? Remember earlier that verse we read in 1 Timothy 2:5? Flip your hand out over there. Flip it back over to the front page. And look at the top there. 1 Timothy 2:5. Let's all say it together. Okay, let's all read it together. You ready? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Do you know how He's able to be the mediator between us and God? Do you know what the very next verse says in 1 Timothy 2? Look at the screen and I'll show you the next verse. Here is how He's able to be the mediator. It's the next verse. Right after it says He's the one mediator, here's how He does it. Here's how He accomplishes it. Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Do you know how He's able to be the mediator? He paid the ransom price so we could be set free. Turn your hand out over. And notice Galatians 1:4 in your handout. It says that Christ gave Himself for our sins. Look at that. He gave Himself. How much clearer can that be? He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver, save us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Did you know that it is God's heart for you to be saved today? The Bible says, in fact, it's in that same text of 1 Timothy 2, that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There isn't a select few that God wants to save. God's heart is to save everybody. He'll have all men to be saved. There's a mediator who's done everything needed for you and I to be reconciled to God and to be brought into a right relationship with God. That mediator is Jesus Christ. And because of His work of mediation, look in your handout. What did we say? Number one, what was the first point? What does Christ's work as our mediator on that cross mean for us? It means that we can be what? Reconciled to God. He did the work, see? Just like Samuel did it for Israel. And those cities were restored. We can be reconciled, restored back to God. Look at the second thing. It says that, number two, Christ's work of mediation means that we can be what? Saved. Saved from what? What was the first thing? Saved from God's wrath. Number two, saved from our sins. Number three, saved from eternal destruction. Who is it that did the work of mediation for us? Who did it? The man Christ Jesus. How many mediators are there? Can I do it for you? Can religion do it for you? Who's the only one that can do it for you? Jesus Christ. Look at the last thing. Number three, the third principle here is that because of Christ's work as our mediator, it means that we can now have peace with God. It means that we as human beings can now have peace with God. I want you to go back to 1 Samuel 7. Go back to your Bible. Everybody look at verse 14. And I want you to look at the end of that verse. Isn't this neat how Samuel's a picture of Christ? Isn't this awesome? I mean, what a picture of Jesus Christ. Hey, cry out to God for us. Samuel says, okay. He offers up the lamb. Well, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. He goes and he offers the lamb on the altar. He cries out to God for Israel. And the Lord heard him. The Lord accepted his work of mediation. And what does God do in response? God ends up restoring back to Israel the cities. God ends up delivering, saving them. And then number three, he brings them peace. Look at the end of verse 14. It says, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. After Samuel's intercessory work, Israel had peace. Because of Christ's great intercessory work on the cross, we can now have peace with God. Mark, John, come here a second. You guys are still alienated. You guys are still mad. Y'all are still at odds. Okay? But then a mediator steps in. And a mediator steps in, takes your hand, brings them together. And now you guys are at peace. You guys aren't mad anymore, are you?
No.
Y'all are happy, aren't
yep.
you?
Yeah. Happy, we're clean.
Were we alienated from God because of our sin, yes or no? Who's our mediator?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. He interceded for us on the cross. And in your handout, it says, because of that, thanks guys, Christ made it possible for a sinful man and a holy God to be made at peace. Christ made it possible for a sinful man and a holy God to be made at peace. Now, how does that peace happen? How am I brought it? Christ did the work on the cross, but now how does that peace finally come between me and God? Well, here's the best part of the whole message. And I hope you don't miss this. It happens by you simply trusting the mediator, Jesus Christ. The moment you place your faith in what Christ has done for you and on your behalf, you are instantly made at peace with God. Look in your handout. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by, how am I justified? Faith. We have, and there it is, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great verse. I'm going to bring it up on the screen. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Having made peace. You know, a lot of people are under the false assumption that they have to keep a laundry list of rules or commands or religious requirements and rituals in order to be brought into peace with God. You know, as I bring up the original screen that we started the message with, you notice the two hands, one reaching down and the other one, grabbing a hold of that, clasping that hand. You know, here's the great news about it, is that Christianity is not about mankind trying to do enough things to try to, you know, mankind is trying to, you know, reach out, somehow reach God, somehow achieve God, somehow earn God. Christianity is not about us trying to reach God. It's about God reaching down to man. And coming to this earth, doing that work of mediation on the cross, like Samuel did for Israel, Christ was the ultimate fulfillment of that. And Christ came and did that work of mediation, not for Israel, but for the whole world on the cross. And now God has reached out to us. And Jesus Christ can take God's hand, our hand, and bring them together. And you don't have to keep a laundry list of rules and religious requirements to be made at peace with God. The Bible says I'm made at peace with God by faith. Thank God we have a mediator. It says in your handout, we have a mediator who has already provided everything necessary for us to be brought into a peace relationship with God. And that mediator is Christ. What did we sing earlier? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. Aren't you glad He paid it all? A-double-L. Jesus Christ. Isn't Samuel a great picture of our mediator in this chapter? Jesus Christ. I thought that was such a blessing, and I wanted to give you that this morning from 1 Samuel 7 before we move in to chapter 8 next week. But right now, let's bow our heads and let's